Otherwise, I like the lecture very much. It was a very good presentation. We will try to cover a few very nice questions that were asked. One question was asked about a pauper. A rich man may or may not be happy. That's a different question. But a person who is a pauper, he is certainly unhappy. So how much should we work? Should we remain paupers? It may come as a strange truth to many of you here today that somebody of your age group is talking that we should not work hard. Because when you go to the outside world, everyone is encouraging you, work hard, try. In fact, you see so many advertisements. A city that never sleeps, you see? All the lights on. In fact, I met a boy from ICIL. I was going with him to Bombay in the train. So he was telling me, I basically hailed from Bombay and I hate Pune. He was telling. I asked him, why do you hate Pune? These people sleep at 9 o'clock in the night. But Bombay, the city never sleeps. Actually, I want to work in Bombay city. But I was forced to come to Pune because my company posted me here. So at least whenever I get a leave, I go to Bombay to roam around the street in the middle of the night. So this is the tendency of many youths today, that they think, what's wrong in working hard? You are saying we should not work hard. Why? You have stamina in the body, you have strength, and you are educated, and you know pretty well that if you work hard, you can earn a lot of money. Bombay, you can see people carrying suitcases even in the middle of the night, going from one place to another, and they are earning money like anything. Bombay is like a gold mine for many people. They earn a lot of money in Bombay. So, at least this question should come to the point of an intelligent man. Why should we not work hard? What's wrong? Why should we not earn more money? So the Shastras explain that one should not work like a donkey, as Vishwadev says. Nāyam deho deha bājaṁ viloke kaṣṭāṁ kāmaṁ arkate vṛbhutāṁ. It says this kind of working is condemned in the Shastra for one very strong reason. Because this body, which promises you so many varieties of enjoyment at the present moment, is very soon going to dry up. And it is going to dwindle and wither away. Just like a beautiful flower that springs in the morning. When it is fully blossomed, it is so beautiful. But the very same flower is gradually going to dry up and fall off the tree. And it is going to be carried away by the winds. In the same way, this body, which is now very lushy and beautiful and very fresh, it appears that it is going to offer you varieties of happiness. But the very same body, within a few years, is going to dry up. And it is going to become old, it is going to perish, and it is not going to promise any more happiness, whatever it is promising you now. And besides that, more importantly, you are not this body at all. You are a pure spirit soul, different from the body. So the Shastras say, why do you work for the temporary body? Because the temporary body is like a temporary seat in the train. The other day when I was traveling in the train, I saw two people vehemently fighting for a seat, right next to me. Practically they were pulling and pushing and kicking like that. And then after some time I found them, they both had to get down in their respective places and the seat was still there, silently, not doing anything. Similarly, sometimes brother and brother, one brother cuts the other brother's hand, another brother cuts this man's leg. You have seen that? Maybe it may be strange to you because you are living in a city. In villages it is very common. Sometimes people fight cutting each other's legs and hands. And then they may kill one another and the land will still remain there. So, whose property is that? It's God's property. Although they are fighting that it is my rivers. So Shastra say, why should we be so foolish? You may earn a lot of money, but after accumulating, what are you going to do with that money? Just like a honeybee goes from flower to flower and accumulates so much honey. Throughout the year, you can see in the honeycomb how much honey he has accumulated. But who is enjoying that honey? Is he able to enjoy it? On fine morning, the farmer comes with a mashal, with a torch, and he drives away all the honeybees, and he takes it and goes away. So he loses everything that he has accumulated. So all that he earned was the hard work. that he put in bringing all this honey to the honeycomb. So Shastra said, if you are working hard, then it is meaningful if you are working for an eternal purpose. Then it is meaningful. Tapo divyam putrakaryena sattvam shuddhye yasmat dhamma saukhyam tvanitam. He says, you do tapasya, but for a transcendental purpose, which will go along with you for all time to come. Then such a work is very much appreciated. It's not that sadhus are told to become idle. Why do you work hard? Just be lazy, automatically food will come to you. Just eat and sleep. Which is not our philosophy. You have to work hard. The question is, what is the purpose? That is the question. When you talk of working hard like donkey, we are condemning people because they are working for a material purpose. Like for example, people living in Pune, they travel by Indrayani in the morning to Bombay. I asked one man, why do you have to go to Bombay? Why don't you take up a job in Pune? That job is paying me 800 rupees more personally. In that 300 rupees goes for the pass. So he earns some 500 rupees extra. So he is ready to go to Bombay. Why? Because he says, if I earn extra money, I can have cable TV at home. I can have extra facilities at home. So people are ready to work hard. This kind of hard work is condemned because if you think by earning more, I can increase material facilities, and such material facilities will bring forth happiness, then you are an illusion. So all this accumulated wealth will be taken away. As he was telling us that a poor man is bound to suffer. Of course, when you talk of poor, even in poor there are so many levels. There are so many levels of poor. In India, you can see there are so many majority of people are poor. But certainly such poor people are not unhappy. In fact, Americans having wealth are far more unhappier than the Indians. In fact, when you are poor, sometimes poverty becomes a blessing in disguise. You know, for example, if you are poor, if you don't have a color television, if you only have a black and white, you are saved because color television produces epilepsy in the eyes. You know that? It produces a particular kind of disease. I don't know the name. It's not epilepsy, I think. Particular kind of disease in the eyes. Color TV produces. And also, if you don't have a cellular phone or a, what do you call that phone? Mobile. In a mobile, if you keep it in your pocket, it produces cancer. So sometimes, not having all these facilities keeps poor people very hale and healthy. And they do not have a grinder, so they have to use the hands. So they are very healthy. They draw water from the well. They are very healthy than rich people. So when we talk of poverty, if somebody is much below the poverty line, he is not even able to earn his daily food, then he is certainly going to suffer. But when we talk of not working hard, we don't mean that all of you become beggars, go and beg. That is not the philosophy. One has to work, as Bhagavatam very clearly defines, labho jiveta yavata. It says labho kamasya na indriya prite, labho jiveta yavata, jivasya tatpa jignyasa na artho yascheha karmabhihi. It says kamasya na indriya prite. Do not use your desires for indriya priti. Do not use your desires for simply satisfying the demands of your senses. Because the senses are going to make demands continuously for all time to come. Never ever think that by satisfying my sense now, they are going to become calm at some point of time. They will never become calm. It's like the waves of an ocean. Can you ever stop the waves of the ocean? You can never stop. Similarly, the demands of the senses are ever increasing. There is only one technique that you can adopt. When you see the demands, you remain aloof from them and indifferent from them. That's what Krishna says, Tam Stitikshasva Bharata. The example is given of the itching sensation. The desires of the senses are compared to your itching. You know, there is a particular poison called as poison ivy. So this poison ivy is a plant actually. If that touches your body, you will get such an itching sensation. And then you start itching your hand like this. When you itch, it's very, very nice. But very soon you find that the hand becomes reddish, starts bleeding. Then, by mistake, if you touch any other part of the body, the same itch comes there. When he started. They all part of the body. And then he started rolling on the ground, oh, I think, like that. And then your body becomes like a big lump of ball, red ball. Body becomes like that. There is no solution. So sex life is like that. So you think, oh, my mind is demanding. Let me try to satisfy my mind. There are so many artificial means people are adopting to satisfy their sexual needs before marriage or whatever. So when man tries varieties of methods by which one can satisfy, actually there are many kinds of desires in our mind. One of the most prominent in this age of youth is the sex desire. So one may resort to anything. Gradually what will happen, like this itching sensation, it will multiply more and more. Ultimately man becomes so crazy that he resorts to something like drug addiction or intoxication in order to completely forget the world. He wants to get out of the world. He doesn't want to think of that. So these desires can never be satisfied. So Krishna says, Tam Titikshasva, he says, tolerate them. So devotees know four things. If you know these four things, then your life will be successful. First, you should know what is the cause of all suffering. You should know where is the suffering coming from. What is the cause of all suffering? The desire of the living being to be independent of Krishna, to be separate from Krishna. That is the cause of suffering. Then you should know what is the solution. Solution, as he was telling us, surrender by following the scriptures and other things. Third is, so you know the cause, you know the solution. And third, you know that because you are in the material world, the suffering is going to come to you even if you are a devotee. Like somebody was asking, just because you have become a devotee right from today, now I will put tilak and then all suffering will come immediately. Or I will say Hare Krishna and all suffering will go away. It is not so easy. Like, you know, we shave up. Shaving up hair is so easy. But can you shave up your desires? That is very difficult. So you may externally shave up, but internally you may have so many unwanted desires. In the same way, becoming a devotee is not a matter of putting tilak and holding beads and wearing this dress. These things you can achieve, I think, if you pay some 200 rupees. You can get all these things. Get a bead bank, get a mala, shave up, keep a tuft, and wear dhoti kurta finish. Are you a devotee? These are all superficial. This is only a law code, like a policeman is wearing a dress. Even a thief can wear a policeman dress. So, this is very easy to dress up like a devotee. But, because you have not become actual devotees, the past karmic reactions are still impending on our back. And they will continue to come. But a devotee understands that whenever the suffering comes, he is tolerating. Tam Titikshasva. Now you may ask, that means a devotee is tolerating and a karmi, a materialist is tolerating. What is the difference? Anybody knows? What is the difference between a devotee tolerating and a materialist tolerating?
The devotee will get the eternal benefit. And the materialist will get a temporary benefit.
Temporary benefit, yes. Somebody else had a... Yeah?
When some problem comes, the devotee always remembers the Lord.
Whereas
the materialist resorts to some other sources, like the addiction or something else.
Yeah.
That is the difference
between
a materialist.
Yeah.
When suffering comes, then devotees take that as the benediction of Krishna. Yeah. Because without suffering, they only take the name of Lord
Jesus. Okay. Similar point like that, yes?
The materialist takes a suffer and they tolerate because they know the suffering has come, actually they are waiting for the happiness also to come. So the devotee is intelligent enough, he is not waiting for the happiness. He understands that the suffering is coming because of our past own reaction. I should tolerate it and ultimately one day I will free from all this suffering. So he is suffering in knowledge, the other one is suffering in ignorance and he is waiting for the happiness to come.
Very good. Very good answer. I think almost complete answer. See, a devotee is tolerating suffering and a materialist is tolerating suffering. The essential difference is materialist will be continuing to suffer life after life. There is no end for him. Unless he somehow or other later on becomes a devotee. But a devotee is now tolerating, but Krishna has already made arrangement for the devotee's sufferings to come to an end. It is like something like putting out the fan. When you put out the fan is rotating. And there is another fan which is now on, which is rotating. What is the difference between the two? One fan is going to go on and on. Is it? Whereas the other fan is already off, although it is rotating, it is gradually going to stop for a bit of time. So devotee will tolerate whatever sufferings come. But eventually it is going to stop at one point of time. So devotee is tolerating all kinds of suffering. So devotee is not the cause of suffering, the root cause of all sufferings. And they know the solution, the permanent solution to the sufferings. And third, they know that they should tam stitikshasa. And they should tolerate the suffering. Not only devotee is not to tolerate, the fourth thing it is said, devotee is also see the suffering as Krishna's mercy. That is a very advanced thing which I will not talk now. That is another big field to discuss more. So, in this way, when one is, one may be called this titan, one is certainly allowed to work. One can work. It is said, as I was telling, labho jiveda yavata. You should be able to work and earn your livelihood. So what is necessity and what is luxury? This question can arise in anybody's life. So what is our necessity? Say for example, you have a mother, you have a father, you have a sister. You don't have a own house. So you can certainly work for earning your livelihood, for getting your sister married, or getting your house for your parents. So these may appear to be the most minimum requirements in your life. But at the same time, you cannot do these things at the cost of your spiritual life. Because when you come to Krishna consciousness, you realize what is the transcendental gem that you have achieved in your hands. You see, on one hand you have eternal life of bliss and knowledge. And on the other hand you have a temporary life which is like a small flash, the time span of eternity. It is insignificant life. You may not understand how insignificant it is. There is a story of Lomasa Rishi. There was a Lomasa Rishi who had a very hairy body. So this Lomasa Rishi was given a benediction that one hair, if it falls off his body, that actually one hair will fall off only in one manu's time. One manu's time, one manu is actually fountain millenniums. It will fall off from his body. When all the hairs from his body fall off, only then he will die. So he had got such a benediction. That means he may live for millions and millions and millions of years. So this Lomasa Rishi was passing by once. And some of his disciples came to me and requested him, "My dear spiritual master, we want to make a nice kutir for you, because you are always performing penance in the cold, ice cold winter. Please kindly accept this kutir." He said, "Why are you doing all this? Life is so temporary." You are telling. He was telling life is temporary. Imagine, what is our life? The Indra Gopa, he lives only overnight. Night he is born, at about 10 o'clock, at 12 o'clock he achieves puberty. Then he begets children at 1 o'clock, and then at about 3 o'clock he gets his children married, and then at about morning 5 o'clock his life is finished. Or you say, Solomon Grandi born on Monday, died on Sunday. So within 1 week somebody dies. Somebody dies within overnight, somebody dies in 1 week, some dogs or cats then live for 3-4 years, some human beings live for 100 years, bears may live for 300-400 years. Trees may live for 3,000-5,000 years. Lifespan may vary, but one thing is assured, that our life is temporary. So the temporary life, compare it with the eternity. What is the comparison? This is simply a flash, insignificant flash. How are you going to give every drop of your blood for this flash-like lifetime? You ask yourself. Are you going to dedicate your entire existence for the sake of this temporary life? All of us assembled here, we all are individual living beings. We have had so many varieties of fathers, so many varieties of mothers. In the past, now we are so attached to our father and mother. In the previous lifetime, we must have had so many varieties of father. We must have had fish father, fish mother, cockroach father, cockroach mother, fly father, fly mother, butterfly father, butterfly mother. So many fathers and mothers we have had in so many varieties of lifetimes. And now we have a particular father and mother born in a particular state, particular country, and we become attached to them. And we think this father and mother are my be all and end all. There's nothing beyond it. And this is the temporary life. So this requires some amount of intelligence to see through. Okay, you need an X-ray vision. And such a person who can see through this is called as a Brahmana. The Brahmana is one who can see and understand this body is temporary. It is futile. It's going to be finished. And the responsibilities that come along with the body, they are also temporary. Is it not? You may fulfill your responsibilities, you may buy a house, flat in Bombay, but you don't know how much will you enjoy that flat. You may buy a flat and it will be finished next moment. There are so many people who have left aside their houses, millions of rupees money. Ultimately, sometimes government takes all of that wealth and property sometimes. People are not there to enjoy. Because material world is a place where we are kicked out, the nature says, now your career is over, get out. All the great kings, they all are gone, Napoleon Bonaparte, Alexander, Hitler, all the people have come and gone here. Nobody can remain in this world permanently. So once you know the life is temporary, we should not foolishly give our whole existence for such temporary life. Rather, if you understood about eternal life, we should work to again enter back to eternity. At the same time, take care of the temporary responsibilities that are awarded to you according to your body and situation. Like for example, somebody is put in a family as a selling, you are put in a situation. Now you are all students in a college. So you have to fulfill your duty as a student. You have to finish your course. You have engineering course. And you should take up a job. So on one hand you do a job, you earn money. On the other hand you clearly know that at one point of time I am going to be thrown out of this body. So you should work for the eternity. Out of the two, which should be given topmost importance? The prime duty of going back to Godhead. That should be given prime importance. You hold on to that, and after you are sufficiently strong, you are holding on to that, then you can fulfill your other responsibilities. Why Shastra say like that? Because even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you talk of spiritual and material, if you have ever a problem of decision making, better you be on the spiritual side, he says. Because if you are working hard materially to earn more and make a better situation in the world, that is never to happen. If you are trying to make the life better, like that they say, you know, let's make the life better, they say, you see. They make so many advertisements. They are trying to make the life better and better, but there is no end to making it better. It goes on and on and on. Sometimes in the name of making it better, you make it worse. So we may think we will make our life better, but then the problems become multiplied more and more. So we should first give first priority to spiritual life, hold on to that, and fulfill the other responsibilities. Nobody needs to be a pauper. You can earn money to fill up your belly, to take care of the dependents. And if you are Krishna conscious, in fact your expenditure will become lesser. Like we have seen people who are devotees, their economical needs are very, very less. Because they have no vices. They have no smoking, they have no drinking, they don't have boozing parties like the outside people have. And they don't worry so much about prestige and status. People are ready to spend lakhs of rupees for maintaining prestige. You know that? People are ready to work very hard in order to just maintain that prestige. I was telling an example. I met a man in the train to whom I was explaining how life is very easy. You can make your life simple. He said, no, no, no. I have to go in the morning at 7 o'clock and I come back in the night at 11 o'clock, sir. How can I chant? Hare Krishna was asking. Why? Why will you have to work so hard? So he was telling, actually, you know, monthly I get about 40,000 rupees profit. But if I work, as you are saying, only for 7-8 hours a day, then I will get only 6-7,000. And I asked him, what is the family expenditure? That is only 4,000, he said. Then why will you have to earn 40-50,000 every month? Just earn 7,000 and be happy. Actually, you know, I am very happy, but my wife is not happy. She is always comparing me with my brother's family. And my brother is earning monthly 50,000. And if I earn little less than that, she is always scolding me. Just to satisfy my wife, I am working hard. He said. So if you poke through and find out, if you find out what is the reason, many people are working hard simply for infatuation. Whether they will say to satisfy my wife, and wife will say to satisfy my husband. Ultimately, both of them want to advance materially. They are not interested in spiritual life. So this is simply a luxury. This is not necessity. So what was the necessity? Yes, 40,000 per month. And some another 1,000, 2,000 for savings, which they were already getting. So most of you here, those are working, you will know. The money that you are earning will be enough for your survival, and it will be enough for emergency in the future. You can save 1,000, 2,000 for the future. And still you will have some extra funds in your hand, which you will be spending or misspending. Every person, average person in society has this facility. It's possible, certainly. There may be some special cases of people who are very, very downtrodden, who don't have any job, that's a different question. In fact, according to karma, sometimes people are severely punished, put in slums and they struggle like dogs and pigs. They have to work very hard. But I'm talking about an average man. For average man, it is certainly possible to work for 8 hours and earn his livelihood and be very, very satisfied. And rest of the time, one should very sincerely devote for Krishna service, morning or evening, as much time as possible. Because the more you become enlightened about this fact, that I am going towards eternal life, you are getting a permanent place. Like I have seen, in townships and villages, now people ask, all the sense, now have you got a permanent job? Have you got a government job? You have seen the people asking, why government job? Because the old people know one thing, if you join a government job, they will not throw you out. They may keep you transferring from one place to another place, but they will not throw you out. So they ask you, have you got a government job? Now it may not be a very prestigious thing to have a government job. People very few government jobs now. People go for private jobs to earn more money. But generally people would seek government jobs in those days. Why? Because of being permanent. So everyone knows that I should hold on to a permanent platform. I want a permanent shelter. But they actually do not know what it means to have permanent shelter. The only permanent shelter is Krishna's lotus feet. That is permanent shelter. Everything else is relative and temporary. So the more we understand, then we will pay attention to the spiritual life. Otherwise, in the name of fulfilling our commitments, we may just get carried away in the waves of material ocean. Just the carriers, anadi karma phale, padi bhavarnava jale, he says. It's like man thrown into a ocean. There is no end. Everywhere you see waves carrying you. So, one should be very careful to preserve one's spiritual life besides fulfilling one's responsibilities. As far as the rich people are becoming more rich and poor people are becoming more poor, actually rich people may become more rich, but they will not be allowed to enjoy beyond their quota. See, every person is allowed to enjoy certain quantum of pleasure and certain quantum of pain. That is decided at the time of birth. Like sometimes you think when you are passing by your house, you see there is a beautiful compound and they have coconut trees and there are some 4-5 nice cars standing, finest cars, and they have big bungalow, 4-5 story building, and you think, oh, these people must be the happiest people. They must be enjoying life. But you go inside and see, poor man will be lying on an AC chair. There are varieties of sweets kept in front of him, but he cannot even touch one of them because he has got diabetes. But some people like that, they are rich, they have the facility, but they will not be allowed to enjoy. The material nature will see to it that they don't enjoy. Sometimes the old man, he has lot of wealth, so he has lost his old wife. Still at the age of 50-60 he wants to marry. Sometimes people marry a young girl, 20-year-old girl, but they cannot enjoy because they are invalid, their body has no strength. And this young girl will be enjoyed by the secretary. It happens in many places if you see. So, one may have wealth and prosperity externally, but one will not be able to enjoy them if it is not written in his quota, prarabdha. One cannot enjoy. It is not possible. Because the material nature will see to it that you only get as much as is written in your prarabdha. Happiness is a state of mind. He was giving the example of Pandavas. Why not frame our mind and go on with our life? So many people argue in this way. When we talk of, like for example, you say life is full of suffering. Sometimes boys argue, where is suffering? There is no suffering in my life. I'm quite happy. Like you see in the TV, sometimes boys and girls dancing. Especially in American TV, you see, they appear to be very happy. And imitating that culture, in India also people are doing break dancers. People are doing dances imitating Michael Jackson, and they are moving with boys and girls freely. In fact, they have begun thinking in India that if you imitate Western culture, you can also become happy like them. This is the understanding. But when you talk of suffering, suffering is certainly relative in this world. Suffering may be relative. As we were hearing the example, when you have a problem of teeth, you are suffering, but dentist will be joyful. Like you say, neighbors envy, owners pride. Neighbor may be having envy, one will be feeling proud. Similarly, you have pain, tooth pain, and you are suffering and crying, and doctor is feeling joyful. So especially after the festivals like Diwali, all the dentists are waiting, looking out for the patients, and there will be a long queue of patients. After eating a lot of sweet items, people will be catching their teeth and coming. And it is dentist joy. Patient suffering, dentist joy. So, suffering for one man may turn out to be happiness for the other in this world. So, we may think that suffering is relative in this world. But there are sufferings in this world which are not relative, which are there for everyone, which no one can escape. As he was quoting, birth, old age, disease and death, everyone has to suffer. So somebody may say, I am old now, but I am not worrying about old age. Or I am going to die now, I am not going to worry about death. It is simply a story. Like for example, I was telling the other day, when I was going in the train last year, May 12th was a bomb blast day. Two bombs were exploded in Bombay city and even buildings collapsed. So after that there was so much fear everywhere. There was confusion in some regions. The next day I was traveling in the train. So one man was arguing, when I was talking philosophy to a group of people, one man argued that why are we talking about suffering and all these things? I am not at all afraid of death. Right now, if I am told I have to die, I will happily die. I have no problem. So he was just challenging. I told him, my dear friend, you have won the battle but lost the war. I told him, just for the sake of inflating your ego, you can make any kind of argument. But actually you are afraid of death, I told him. I will just take a few minutes to prove it, I told him. So very soon I was seeing that there was a suitcase kept in the middle of the train. Somebody had kept it. And all the people were going like this and like this. Nobody was going near the suitcase. Because everyone was trembling that there could be some bomb inside. So in those times, especially on the bomb that day and the subsequent days, you can keep anything on the middle of the road. And after 5 days you can come back, you will find it in the same place. People are so... You can even keep a gold chain in a box in the middle of the road, nobody will catch it. So I told this man, if you really have the guts to die, you go and bring the suitcase and open it. He could not do it. He was finished. He had the fear. So it is very easy to say, I am not afraid of death. Well, it's only a state of mind. I am not afraid. It's very easy to say. You see, death is compared to biting of 42,000 scorpions. Can you imagine? Like there are many people who write books, like there is one Dale Carnegie. He has written many books. He says, stop worrying and start thinking.
How to stop worrying?
Yeah. How to stop worrying and start living. He writes books like this. Or how to win friends. They write many books like this. But then these people are very superficial. Somebody was asking the question, sometimes the materialistic people appear to be very happy. They are always smiling. They appear to have a cool face. And they appear to have no problems at all. On the other hand, they are atheistic. They don't accept God. How is it possible? The same question would have arisen for someone who saw Dale Carnegie. But Dale Carnegie would never talk about God. He would always teach his students how to earn the favor of other people. Like sometimes the women read books, how to attract men. You have to dress in a particular way, you have to put particular cosmetics, and your hairstyle should be in a particular way, and when you speak to people, you should speak in a particular way, you should look in a particular way. Then men will become completely trapped. Similarly for men also learn from many books how to attract women. So in the same way, Dale Carnegie would teach his friends how to be effective in speaking, how to be effective in dealing with people, so that you win friends everywhere. So he says, you try to know the name of the person, you try to know his interests, you try to manipulate him in this way, and you make him your friend. Gradually you become your friend. So many techniques he is teaching in his books, you can see that. And all of them are purely material techniques. The very same Dale Carnegie, who was apparently teaching the whole world how to win friends, he climbed up a 30-story building and he jumped off from there and committed suicide. Unfortunately, not being able to make friendship with anyone. You may wonder, how can such a person go for committing suicide? Because you know, death is very painful. How can one ever dare to die? Sometimes, somebody may want to die. Somebody want to commit suicide. People say, I'm going to commit suicide. But mind you, those who say I'm going to commit suicide, they will never commit suicide. They just want to frighten the people around. They cannot do that. That is why Dale Carnegie's act is said, the action is brave, but the act is cowardly. It is said. The action is suddenly brave, because sometimes you go to the railway and put your head, now I am going to die. Then, you come, immediately you jump on someone, maybe tomorrow, not today. You think like that, you cannot die. So it really requires a great brave tendency to go and commit a suicide like that. So nobody wants to die, because the death is very painful. As I told you, the death is like 42,000 scorpions bite. When you talk of scorpion bite here, many of you may not know what is a scorpion bite, because you are all living in a city. You go and ask a village man somewhere in down there, what is a scorpion bite? They say the scorpion bite is such that if you have a red hot charcoal, red hot, and somebody has tied it in your leg, and you are running around here and there, if you are running around, then because of air, it will start growing more brighter and it will burn you more. It is exactly like that. This is one scorpion bite. If you have a charcoal in your leg, just imagine. So it will be like that. Like a quartz clock, you know, like that it will be painful to you. At the point of bite, you can see that. It is so painful. And there is no remedy except some spells that they have in villages. It is very difficult to cure scorpion bite. And there are 42,000 scorpion bites which will bite, not in installments, but simultaneously. Then imagine how severe it will be. This is the meaning of death. So how painful it is. Nobody wants to die in this world. I was telling the other day in the last week's class, like, you know, one man got a disease in the finger. He said, I don't want to spare this finger. What is because sparing the finger or the hand, or the entire hand, or one's part of the body, like leg or hand. No one wants to spare this body, nor one wants to spare his relatives. Like I was saying, when I was coming from Bombay, some families are coming, and they were seeing their brothers, sisters, and uncles going, and they were raising hands till the train was going. There were practically tears in their eyes. Some people are running along with the train, you know, embracing them, or catching their hands, and ta-ta. So nobody wants to get separated in this world. But death is a point when not only one of your relatives, all your relatives, your father, your mother, your brothers, sisters, friends, entire society is going to be separated from you. And more importantly, your body, which is the most dear to you, that is also going to be separated from you. You can imagine how painful it is. And how did Dale Carnegie became ready to die? What was his conviction? Just like you are looking from the 30th floor, you are seeing 42,000 scorpions around. They all are suffering their mouth, ready to eat you. And you are jumping into that. What does that mean? That means his state of mind was more painful than the 42,000 scorpion bite. For him, living one moment was more painful than undergoing this scorpion bite, 42,000 scorpion bites for one moment and dying afterwards. So what Dale Carnegie thought, now they are going to bite me for one moment like this and I will suffer. But at least after that I can rest in peace. But now for me to live moment after moment after moment, it is so painful to live in this loneliness. So he could not tolerate this loneliness. This was his condition. Although he wrote so many books on how to win friends. So mind you, in the material world, people may superficially appear to maintain a cool head. As long as their sense gratification is going on nicely. Sometimes you see two big business magnates looking like elephants with coat and suit, shaking hands and smiling, no? They smile like this. But the artificial smile they give, you have seen? I bet they give artificial smiles. Because I was working in a company for some time, I got to see all this drama. People shake hands, you know. They wear coat, suit, ties, everything. As soon as they see another businessman, they put up a big smile. Like that. American smile. That is, they have made their mouth, designed their mouth in such a way, shaking hands, very easy to do. So, as long as they are two different businessmen in two different fields, they will be happy. But if they are doing the same business, and one businessman is profit, one businessman is competing with the other, then they will even become ready to kill the other person. The business field, what all they do? One boy working in the company came and showed me. He is in the marketing department. So the company has provided him a complete notes about all the defects in the products of other similar companies who are working on similar products. Like for example, Godrej company is producing a bureau. So they will give the marketing people the defects in the bureaus produced by all other companies. What are all the defects? So he has to go to the people, clients, and he has to tell them these are the defects in other bureaus. Don't buy this because this has this defect, that defect. But in their own product, they will not tell any defect. Their product is defective. And other company will tell the defect in this product also. You understand? This is how the world is going on. People have this kind of greed. So Dale Carnegie was lonely. He didn't get any friends. But externally, superficially was pretending as if he has won all friends all over the world. The richest of the people, they try to pose as if they are the happiest people. Because they know that the whole world will expect that I should be happy, isn't it? So in order to prove that I am happy, let me make a show. They will make a show of being happy. But they are the most lonely people. Like cinema actors and actresses, they can't come out in society. Because if they come out, people bounce on them. It's very difficult, they cannot win friends. So they remain lonely at one point of time when they commit suicide. Many, many actors and actresses you must be knowing. Either they committed suicide or they were killed by someone. The most famous people, the most famous politicians, they were all killed and murdered. You see like that. So, when you see karmic people, materialistic people, appearing to be happy or maintaining a cool head, understand it is only a make show. For some time. That is Srimad Bhagavatam is asking, that's a beautiful shloka. It says, Tasyasti bhakter bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunai tatra samasati vasura Haravabhattasya kuto mahatguna nanoratena satidhavato bahir. It says, Haravabhattasya kuto mahatguna. If one is not a devotee of God, how can he ever have any good qualities? This is the question. There was one Kairnar, you all must be knowing. It came in the paper. This Kairnar in Maharashtra, he was a famous man because he would expose people who are doing corruption. And people said, oh, he is such a wonderful man. He is exposing corrupted people. So he is like God, we should worship him. So one time the interviewers came to him and asked him, what is your opinion about God? One lady, interviewer. So he said, not only in my school days I have gone to temples and all because my parents told me, now I don't believe in God, I don't have faith in God and all. Who knows God exists or not? I don't believe in all this. I only believe in the principles of dharma, that nobody should do corruption. Anybody who does corruption, I will immediately expose him. That is my duty. So he was telling. So that female reporter, she is saying, although he didn't believe in God, still his speech was very godly. He was appeared to be a divine man, like that. In her own sentimental way, she concluded. So, this man appears to be a very righteous man, although he is exposing corruption. Just wait and see over a period of time. His corruption will be exposed. But just wait and see. Why people expose corruption? Because A is doing corruption, B is doing corruption, and they are getting a share, and I am left alone. I am not getting my share. Come on, I will expose both of you. If both of you agree to give me a part of your corruption, then I will also keep quiet. This is the tendency of a materialist. If you think I am simply speculating, let me ask you a question. For what purpose should he be righteous? There has to be a meaning. There is a saying in English, we should have at least something in our life for which we can die for, otherwise there is no meaning living for, it is said. So devotees have Krishna for whom they are ready to die. Devotees are ready to give their entire life for this eternal purpose of surrendering to Krishna. But all others are standing on a talking platform, some material understanding. So they, even if they appear to be apparently righteous for some temporary cause, they will be righteous within some given terms and conditions. But when they are tempted, any big person can fall prey. There is no wonder. But you see, Chintan was such a big man, the most adept. His aspiration was to become the biggest man in the United States. So he did become a big man and the whole country respected. They were throwing flowers, they were glorifying, everywhere people were talking about him. He was most famous. But then he was found to have had illicit sex with a woman. Immediately the whole country cursed him. So these politicians, till they come to power, sometimes they appear like a very, very righteous people. Sometimes they go to temples, and they also put basma all over their body, they worship, and they start behaving like very religious people. Like, you know, there's a story of cat, you know, Rudraksha, Pune, Rudraksha cat. Rudraksha cat, one time a cat had become very old, and nobody was even looking at him, and he could not get any rats. So he thought, what can I do? So he devised the idea. So he started wearing all basma all over his body. And he was having a kamandalu in hand. And he was wearing a rudraksha also in his neck and his hands all over. And he was sitting in one place very calmly. And all the rats came together and they had a meeting. What happened to our master cat? He has been always catching us. Now what happened to him? Some foolish rat suggested, he has become a very righteous man now. He doesn't do any corruption. He's like Karuna. He's very, very righteous. So he is so righteous that we have practically seen with our own eyes. He is wearing basma all over his body. He is wearing rudraksha and is completely absorbed in trance. What to think of his good qualities? And these foolish rats told, come, we all should go there and we should glorify him by choice birthday. So, all the rats, other rats are little upright, but these foolish rats told, no, come, don't be upright. Now yes, become a pure man. So they all went. So the cat was sitting. She got a transfer. So, in this way, there are people who may apparently appear to be righteous superficially for some period of time, as long as they don't get their quota. If they are given their quota, they will keep quiet. They will not expose anybody. So, understand that the materialists are one-pointed in their purpose. What is the one point? Sense gratification. Similarly, Krishna devotees are one-pointed in their determination. What is their one point? Krishna's lotus feet. So, materialists, when they are one-pointed in their focus and attention, sometimes you will see that for the sake of achieving that sense gratification, they will do anything for that. I have seen materialistic people, how sweetly they speak. Like, one man came to temple to sell some very big cooker for us, some 30-40,000 rupees cooker. So when he came, as soon as he saw, he understood, I am a godly man. Then he said, I am also very interested in Bhagavad Gita, you know, it is so important, it's a part of our life. I asked him, how is it a part of your life? What are you doing? I asked him. He could not say anything. He said, no, I am interested. I want to come to temple. You are selling. So these people, what they do, they study the other person. So what are his interests? And they try to catch hold of their interest and try to talk in a very diplomatic way. So they will appear to be very cool, very collected, and very productive, and very hardworking. But what is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is sense gratification. Just like an eagle, he may go to the greatest of the heights. He may say, you know, we are like a sparrow, we cannot go up. But the eagle can go so high. But after going so high, what is he looking on the ground? The dead corpse. That's what he is looking. Although his power of vision is very sharp, ultimately what is his goal? To get the dead body, dead corpse. It's a horrible thing. So better to have no sharp eyes like the eagle. What is the use of having a sharp eyes ultimately to see dead corpse? Similarly, if you have intelligence and business acumen and diplomacy, if you have many abilities which a common devotee may not have, if you have these abilities, but you are utilizing all these abilities for your sense gratification, then you are like an eagle who is looking at the dead body. There is no use of such things. And these abilities are going to die at the point of death. But the devotee, even if a devotee is, may not be very cool, they may become angry. A devotee may not be very intelligent, he may have average intelligence. But somehow or other, he has come to the right conclusion, isn't it? That I have to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. That is very, very glorious. So, materialistic people, Anything that they possess, as you know, is also awarded by Krishna. When you see some atheistic people having some special abilities, how should you see that? You should see it as a display of Krishna's energy. And it is true. Krishna is balam balavatam chaham. I am the strength of the strong. And the buddhir buddhimatamasmi. This is glorious. So materialistic people, anything that they possess, as you know, is also awarded by Krishna. When you see some atheistic people having some special abilities, how should you see that? You should see it as a display of Krishna's energy. And it is true. Krishna is balam balavatam chaham. I am the strength of the strong. I am the buddhir buddhimatamasmi. This was, I am the buddhi of the intelligent people. So one should see like that. Even if an atheistic person is possessing some special ability, you should know that this special ability is awarded to him by Krishna. Like Hiranyakashipu, was he not powerful? You all are devotees here. How many of you can perform penance like Hiranyakashipu? Tell me. How many of us can do penance like Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu performed penance for 100 celestial years. He did not drink one drop of water. Can you imagine? When Brahmaji saw his body, only bones were there. Entire flesh was consumed by the ants, which had grown upon his body like an anthill. So Brahmaji sprinkled some water and got him out of that anthill. So Brahmaji told him, my dear Hiranyakashipu, the penance that you have performed cannot be even imitated by great rishis like Bhrigumuni. Bhrigumuni is one of the greatest rishis. Even he cannot imitate you, he said. That was the power of his penance. But what did he ask for ultimately? Did he say that now I want to become an unconditional devotee of Krishna? Did he say that? He wanted sense gratification. So he achieved all the three worlds. He had the heavenly planet, he was sitting in the Indra seat, he was drinking liquor, he had all the apsaras at his service, all the demigods would come, bow down before him and offer him gifts, and he would chastise them for no reason. Get out of here! Then he would shout at them, and they would tremble and run away. So in this way, he had all the power in the entire universe, and he apparently appeared to be cool-headed, and very calm, and very satisfied. Was he completely satisfied? Although everything in the universe that is available was with him, at his disposal, still, one small tender child, Prahlad, did not agree him to be the supreme. Prahlad said, I can't accept you as God, my dear father. You are simply a king of demons, that's all. You can't be accepted as God. God is Vishnu, and he is superior to you. This one word of this one small child could not be tolerated. So the materialistic people may appear to be happy, but one small thing in their lives can completely disturb their whole existence. The devotees, whatever be the condition, whether they are mature or whether they are immature, whether they are angry, whether they don't get angry, whether they are struggling to control their senses, or whether they are paramahansas, whatever be the condition of devotees, their glory is that they are rightly situated at the feet of Krishna. That is their glory. And the demons' glory is no glory at all, although it may appear to be glory. Hiranyakashipu's followers may be glorifying that he got all the three worlds. But what is the use? He was ultimately put in the lap of Vishnu, Krishna, the form of Narsingadev, and he tore apart his stomach and took out the intestines, and the Lord was wearing it as a garland. And Lord sucked every drop of his blood. This is how he died miserably. Such a miserable death he had. So, demons, whatever qualities they possess, ultimately they have to die. And it is one quality that we observed right from time immemorial, that demons always have some special abilities. It is not only the display in the Kali Yuga. Do not wonder. In Kali Yuga sometimes I wonder, I used to discuss with devotees, how are these people working 16 hours? When I work for 8 hours, I become so tired. And we are always, evening we are thinking of prasadam time. Morning we think of prasadam. But Kali people, when they are doing their job, lunch dabba they bring it. Till night they don't eat it. They just keep it aside. They are doing their business to earn more money. So the senior devotees told me, do not worry. These people, their goal is sense gratification. For that they will do anything. Last year I think we had gone to Shimla for a spiritual tour. Myself and about 12 of us from IYF. So when we had gone to Shimla, it is such a wonderful scenic beauty. beautiful snow-capped mountains, and there were like something like Lonavala, very beautiful place with wonderful trees, and they had given us rooms to stay. And when we went to those rooms, we were completely stunned, because all these rooms were filled with so many facilities. There was fridge, and there were velvets, there were sofa sets and such furniture, and there were hundreds of shops in the top with all facilities. And one has to probably climb some 4,000 feet high. Then I was asking this question to a senior sannyasi there, Shukadev Maharaj. Maharaj, how they brought all these shops here? How they brought so many things? First of all, how did they build these houses and such finest of the furniture? How did all these things come here? Then he gave a big laugh and he told me, this is no wonder materialistic people will go to any extent for their own sense gratification, he said. Because it is for their sense gratification, they will give their entire life for that. To bring these things up the mountain, to live a luxurious life there, they will do anything, he said. So this is the meaning of materialist. Materialistic people means they are ready to work very hard for their prime purpose of sense gratification. But we devotees, we should try to very strictly be righteous for Krishna's pleasure. We should follow the precepts of Krishna. The ultimate righteousness is to follow the words of Krishna. Not like the honesty amongst thieves. Three thieves stole from a bank, they went to a forest, and two of them planned to share the amount when the third man was away for passing urine. So one of the two told, hey, we should not share it amongst ourselves. Let us be honest. When the third man comes, let us share together. What kind of honesty is this honesty? Bogus honesty. In the same way, Kaiman or Father Matter, anybody who says, let me be honest. But what kind of honesty can you have without God in the center? You are taking God's wealth, you are taking God's land, you are taking all the energy that God has provided, and you are trying to be righteous by sharing it amongst you, amongst all of you people. How can it be done? So even annadan, when you do, if you don't take God's name, it is not considered a very great activity. Even if you are doing annadan, one has to bring God in the picture. One has to say that everything comes from God. I am simply an instrument, just distributing what God has given. But if you say, I am the annadhata, then you don't get much benefit by that, even if you distribute to thousands of people. So one has to bring God in the picture. Hare Krishna. I answered most of the questions, I think. Any other question? How to decide my quota? How much should I take and how much should I not take? As I was telling, as we become devotees, very clearly we will know what is our quota. Like for example, Prabhu Goswami gives us a proportion that if you are a devotee, then you are earning 100%. So you should say 50% you use for your family and yourself, expenditure and all, and 25% you keep in emergency, and 25% you should use it for Krishna service. So somebody is earning 10,000, 5,000 he spends for himself and family, 2,500 he keeps in emergency, and 2,500 he gives it off for Krishna service. This is actually the right method. But if somebody is earning very less amount, then he may not be able to give that much. Or if somebody is earning in lakhs and crores, then he can give even more than 25% if he wants. So it varies from person to person, but some general understanding is given how we should set aside our quota. But we should always give some of our earning to Krishna in order to keep ourselves immune of all the sinful reactions. We should not enjoy the extra benefits that we get. In any job you will get some extra benefit. Not that, you know, you are earning money which is just enough for your survival. It is never the case. You will see that especially amongst engineers, all of you, you will all get very good jobs. And your job will provide you for your livelihood, for your parents also. Generally parents don't depend on children nowadays. They are more intelligent now. They keep in bank. In fact, they provide for the children if they don't get jobs. But in case parents need, still one should be able to give to parents and still have some saving for the future. Actually, I generally tell the boys, do not give to parents directly. Whatever you want to give to parents, you put it in the bank account and save it for 2-3 years and give a big lump sum to the parents so that they will effectively use it for some real expenditure like sister's marriage or something. Otherwise, nowadays parents, If you send money every month, they just use it for cable TV and things like that. They just spend it off. So, nothing wrong in giving to parents. One can use it for one's own expenditure. But one should also spend some money for Krishna. And luxury means when one has the frill, as I told you, some extra money, then you don't know how to spend it. Then you think maybe we have to go to Lonavala for a change. And you go for a change and you end up running so many vices. Or you have bad association of unwanted friends. So you should be very careful, all of you here. You all are becoming devotees, you should be very careful with materialistic people because they are going to drag you all the time. Come here, come there, do this, do that. So when you have little extra earning, suddenly you will try to fall down and prey to bad habits. That's a very great likelihood. So, once you take money only for one's necessity, and Krishna will tell you exactly, in your heart he will tell you, this is luxury for you. This is not required by you. You are simply trying to enjoy. He will give you the warning if you are sincere. Very easy to know. It's not that difficult. Tena taktena punjita magrida kasya suddhanam. He says, whatever is of butter we should take, and the rest of it we should use it in God's service. Hare Krishna. So although happiness is a state of mind, we should understand, although the soul is beyond dukkha and sukha, we are certainly not beyond sukha and dukkha. Like if you say, I am not the body, if you bring a blade to cut you, will you not run away? I say, you are not the body, let me cut you. Are you so realized that you are beyond all the sukha and dukkha? Are you oblivious to that? We are not beyond sukha and dukkha. We cannot tolerate pains and we cannot keep quiet when we get pleasures. We are bound to jump up and down by the three modes. They are dictating us. So we should understand that we are caught up in this cycle. We should accept the regular laws and follow. So one should understand that there is pain and there is suffering. And there is real pain and real suffering, as I told you about the birth, old age, disease and death. Although the soul is untouched by these things are going on and on and on unless one surrenders to Krishna. So everyone has to experience this birth, old age, disease and death. So a devotee tries to get out of this completely, altogether. That only devotee can do. So somebody is saying, what's wrong? Just eat, drink and be merry. Life is joyful. He can be, but he will get the consequences. Like they are saying, just do it. You seen that? Now there is another teacher coming, he just did it, they are saying. You seen that? The recent teacher. So they are saying, you just do it, and just get it, and you just suffer. Ultimately you have to suffer. The consequences. And that is the nature, you can see that. Everything. You just do it by smoking and you will have to just suffer after that. Similarly, you just drink and then you will be lying down in the street. There are people, I have practically seen with my eyes, people having drunk, lying in the road and practically crying. It's burning inside. They cannot tolerate. So, just do it is the philosophy of four-legged animals. There are animals, they act according to instinct. See, just do it means instinct. Is it not? Acting by instinct is just do it. So they are telling you, just do it, that means they are telling you, why don't you become two-legged animals? They are just giving you a suggestion. But if they tell you directly, you will feel a little offended. So they are indirectly telling you, become animals. In fact, I saw here, at the end of this street, they had written, I think, Lonavala, some advertisement was there. One man was slipping and almost falling in the kitchen. He said, just get lost or something like that. They are saying, just get lost. Or he is falling in the kitchen and they are saying it's wonderful. So, these materialistic people have this kind of philosophy. What is it you saw then? So, or they say, you know, get passion. Actually, they are trying to become free from passion. But they said, get passion. Discover passion. Yeah, discover passion. So you bring this crush and you discover passion. So many things. So these people want to become degraded. That's why they are telling you, just do it. When you want to just do it, what does your conscience say? You say, just do it? It is practically crying inside. Don't do it, stop it. You rascal, where are you going? What are you going to do? Stop it. And these people are saying, just do it. Easily you can see, such a guilt consciousness you can see. And after the people do it, they are the most frustrated people in the world. And in order to overcome that frustration, they will tell you another, just do it. They will tell you, okay, that happened to you, do another, try another thing. So this is a never ending cycle. That is why they say in America, the criminals can never be controlled, even today. It's very difficult, it's beyond the control of police now. And it is going at a very fast rate. The criminal rate is increasing. They do not know, someday criminals may take over entire America. That's the condition. It's beyond control. So you teach people, just do it, and that's what they will become. I think I'll stop here. We all have to take prasaram also. Any one question, anybody wants to clarify any other points? That's me right now.
Then also you die a painful death, or then
you get death? No, devotees will not die a painful death. You know the reason why? Because devotees understand the spiritual world, they know Krishna, and at the time of death they know it's only a transfer of the soul from one body to another. Is it not? Either Krishna is going to take them from here and put in another body, or is going to take them from here and take them back to spiritual world. So it is like a kitten looking at the mother cat. Mother cat is picking up the kitten. The mouth of the mother cat appears to be very ferocious for a rat. When the rat is seeing the cat's mouth, it is trembling with fear. He is trying to run here and there. Immediately the cat goes and catches him and crushes him into pieces. And he eats the rat. Whereas the same mouth of the cat, how does the kitten see? The kitten's vision is different. The kitten sees that the cat is going to catch me and take me from here to another place. Like that. So the devotees know when Krishna comes in the form, for demons Krishna comes as death, and for devotees death comes as Krishna. So death is actually a very very invited thing for a devotee. Devotee is ready to die at any moment. If Krishna comes and meets me now, I'll be so happy to go back. Why should I see another 30-40 years of material world? So devotees are happy to return back to Krishna. Any time the Krishna calls them. So they know that the body will fall away and the spiritual will return to the eternal kingdom of Krishna. Or we will be born in another devotee's house where we will continue where we have left off. So devotees, it's never a suffering for devotees. In fact, it's my practical experience that before I became a devotee, I used to feel sometimes very worried about death of my relatives and friends. What will happen if my father, mother died, if my sisters, or my uncle, aunt, my grandfather, if they all die, what will happen? I was so attached to my grandfather. Some years ago after I joined, my grandfather passed away. He didn't create even a little bit of disturbance in my mind. Although I was very attached to him. Because when you learn philosophy properly, you get the vision to see, then you clearly know that there is nothing to worry in the world. Even if the most near and dear ones die, our relatives, you will never cry. Because you will know that they have been just shifted from one body to another. You will never cry. So the same day when you die also, you will not cry. And you will not worry also. In fact, you will happily live. Actually, now at this stage, many of you may not be happy to live. I am very sure. But you are afraid of death. Why? Because you know, our understanding about spiritual world and about Krishna is very limited now. But the more we become realized, the more we will become eager to go back to Krishna. More we advance, more one will want to go back. In fact, Kulashekara says, I want to go back right now. When I am young, I can chant your names. I can call out your names very fervently. Oh Lord, just take my life right now. Right now, let me return back to you. This time. So when we talk of happiness and similar topics like this, we should know that the whole world is running like a rat race for the material happiness, which is simply temporary. It is like a temporary engineering degree awarded by a bogus college. So bogus college tells you, so many colleges are starting nowadays, new colleges. Names are difficult to spell also. So these colleges are awarding engineering degrees and we don't know whether at all government will recognize these degrees. And even if the degrees are recognized, some company may give you some job in God for second place somewhere. So there are many new colleges starting like that, unauthorized colleges. In the same way, the material pressures are like an unauthorized college, which promises you pleasures. But this body is simply a flap of flesh, promising you some pleasures for a flickering period of time. But remember that very soon this will perish. Not only it will perish, it's going to produce reaction for all the wrongdoings that you did, for which you have to suffer terrible consequences in the future. You cannot escape. So when you are youthful, you have hot blood in your body, you can do dynamic activities. So utilize all that passion in serving Krishna. If you don't use it in God's service, if you use it in wrong direction, then all of this is going to produce terrible reactions in the future. And one has to suffer all of this by taking life after life after life. So many bodies. Another lifetime means I am really scared if I think of another life. Why? Because again you have to go to LKG, UKG, carry school bag, teacher will beat you. You have to get beating with a stick. And you have to kneel down. And you have to do so many mathematics, science, you know, history, geography. Again you have to do right from school days, right from childhood. And then you will grow into youth. Again you will do so many atrocities in youth. And then you will go bald, again you will die. Again you have to be born again. Panarapi jananam, panarapi maranam, this is going on and on, like this. Horrible. So man has to question, where is the end of this cycle? This cycle we have performed it millions of times. That's why he was saying, punaha punaha, charvita charvananam, chewing the chur, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And this body is over. Another body, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That body is finished. And third body, again, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We have been doing on and on like this for millions of lives. Like you are doing the example of sugar cane. You take out all the juice, again you put it back, and no more juice, again you put it back. Like that you have been squeezing out these bodies to get some happiness. Now that you have got a human body, at least let us become awakened. Let us open our eyes and see, why are we again and again taking on bodies? This is the intelligence of a Brahmana. Kripana is one who just blindly goes on and on with his life. Just eat, jump on fast food, go to the company, earn money and put a lot of money in the bank, just make money and enjoy. This is the Kripana, who doesn't worry about the human form of life. Brahmana means one should think. I should not waste even one moment. Ayushakshana egopi narabhya swarna kottidhi. Chanakya says, one moment of human life is so precious that even by giving millions of gold coins, you cannot get it back. It's very, very precious. Actually, it is precious for another reason. Do you know why? Because Shrita Goswami says, kim pramattasya bahudit parakshaya khayanayriha varam muhottam viditam gatate shreyasayataha. He says, one moment of transcendental thought is superior to thousands of years of life, he says, which is lived in vain. You compare a tree's life, a tree in Botanical Garden of Calcutta is living for 5,000 years, you know that? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived only for 48 years. Our Shankaracharya lived only for 32 years. Jesus also lived very short, 38 years then. Very brief life. But can you compare the life of this 5,000 years tree with their life? What is the quality of life? What is the quality of life of Jesus and the quality of life of this tree? Tree has been just existing, that's all. Similarly, there are so many human beings who are just existing, not doing anything in spiritual life. So, human life is precious because every moment you can think of God and advance. Whereas a tree or a cat or a dog, they cannot do that. So, we should take full advantage. So, that eternal happiness we should seek. This is a very deep subject matter, so people don't understand it very easily. When you go to give people this kind of eternal happiness, they don't understand what it is. They say, oh, why do you bother about all this? Don't bother about the immediate things. Don't worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. So this will waste their entire life. Worry about today may be an ideal standard for a cat or a dog. But even as a human being, even materially you worry about tomorrow, right? Isn't it? Are people not saving for after retirement? Isn't it? People don't do LIC. How many people save money in LIC? Life insurance. And they have so many retirement schemes. When you are 25 years old, you start putting in a retirement scheme. You know that you are going to grow old one day and you will become invalid. You cannot earn your earning. Even for this life when you are working, how much money is important for the future lives? A dog or a cat will not put anything in LIC. He doesn't know. Isn't it? He doesn't worry about retirement. He doesn't know anything. So, you know that I have to worry about the future, but you are worrying about the future of the same life. So worry in the same way about the future life. What is going to happen to me after that? And that is more important, because if you skip, if you lose this opportunity, we don't know where will it end. Again, we don't know whether you will be born in Pune, whether I wife will be there, whether our friends will be there, whether we will have association of devotees, chanting, dancing, singing. We don't know. You may be born in Congo Forest.
Who knows?
You may not get any association. You can become a mosquito in Congo Forest. So you should take advantage of this golden opportunity. Correct.